Thank you, Father. Good morning. As Father said, I'm from Southern California, more specifically San Diego, although I now live in Mexico, but San Diego, and I want to thank you for this San Diego weather you've brought me. And somebody said, just wait a couple hours, so hopefully it'll hang in there for us. I have two tasks this morning. One is to provide a reflection on the readings, and the second is to invite you, motivate you, inspire you, cajole you, guilt you, as a lifelong Catholic, guilt you into attending the mission, which, as Father said, begins tonight at 6:30, tomorrow at 6:30, Tuesday at 6:30, and Wednesday at 6:30. But first, the readings. The readings today are about faith. They're about faith. And I got to thinking that the last line in the gospel today, think about this last line from Luke's gospel. When the Son of Man comes again, when Jesus comes again, will there be faith on this earth? That presupposes that maybe there won't be faith on this earth when Jesus comes again. Incidentally, there was a study, multi-year study, worldwide study that was released just this week that said that throughout the world, faith has taken a decline, a major decline, not just in people going to church, but in people actually believing in God, in people believing in something bigger than themselves. Worldwide, there's a movement toward people not believing anymore in God. And I got to thinking, what can I do as an individual? As an individual of faith, what can I do to make a difference? And then I was reminded of the story of the little boy who one day was bugging his father. A lot of questions. Dad, why is the grass green? Why is the sky blue? Why is water wet? Why are you such a nerd? And this was a dad who didn't have time for his son because he was watching a football game. So he said, son, just a minute. And he looked around and he found a picture of a map of the world. And he said, son, what I want you to do is I want you to take this map of the world, and he tore it into 100 little pieces. Take it and go into your bedroom, get some scotch tape. Tape it back together. Think of it like a jigsaw puzzle. And when you have it all taped back together perfect, you come back in, I'll answer all your questions. Kind of a manipulative dad, huh? You know, that father thought it would take that boy an hour or more. Do you know he had the thing taped back together perfect in less than 10 minutes? The father was amazed. He was so amazed he turned off the TV. And he said, son, how did you do it? How did you get it taped back together so quick? And the boy looked up at his father and said, daddy, I noticed that on the back of that picture of the world, there was a picture of a family. And I just kind of figured if I could put the family together, the world would just sort of somehow take care of itself. If we want to make a difference, make the needle move with regards to faith throughout the world, it starts at home. It starts with us as individuals, and it starts with the family. And it ripples out from there. Amen? By the way, I say amen. You might think I'm Baptist, but no, I'm cradle Catholic. So it starts with us. So when I read the readings for today, three words came to me that I think would help us to strengthen our walk of faith. And from the first reading, the word is persistent. The first reading has Moses on the side of the mountain with a staff. And by the way, the staff he has is no ordinary staff. This is the staff he threw on the floor in front of the Pharaoh, and it transformed into a serpent. It's the same staff he used to raise above his head to part the Red Sea. The same staff he used to again raise up and close in the Red Sea to destroy the army of the Egyptians. Powerful staff. And he told his general, Joshua, that when I raise the staff, you will win in your battle against Amalek. But if the staff comes down, you will begin to lose. So Moses is on the top of the hill raising that staff. And sure enough, Joshua is winning. But as he starts to hold it for a long time, he gets tired and his arms start to drop. So what happens? His friends Aaron and Ur come over and they give him a rock to sit on, and that's not enough. So they actually get underneath and are holding his arms up for him. And the result was that Joshua won that battle against Amalek. And as I was thinking about that, I looked over to crucifix, not dissimilar to yours. And what are Jesus's arms doing? They're up. And it occurred to me for the first time that by Jesus submitting to that death on the cross, his arms are up for all of us. And by his willingness to go to his death, we who believe win. Amen? So the first is persistent. We have to be persistent in our faith. We have to remain strong no matter what, even if we're tired, even if we're disgruntled, even if we're discouraged, even if we're tired and everything is working against us, we have to continue to be strong in our faith. And don't be afraid to ask family and friends to help, just as Moses did. We're in this as a family. We're in this as a team. Amen? In the second reading, it's the reading where Paul says, faithfulness to all that you believe and all that you've learned. We're called to faithfulness. My word for this is consistent. We're called to be consistent in all that we do. We were taught things that what it means to be a Catholic, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a person of faith. Are we consistent in our daily life in those things? Are we consistent in how we love each other? God has put a lot of people in our lives. Do we continue on a consistent basis to show love? Do you know sometimes it's easier to love a stranger than those who are closest to us? But God calls us to be faithful and consistent in our love, and that's how we grow in our faith. Be consistent and faithful in our prayers, and that's how we grow in our faith. In the third reading, the gospel reading, we hear of the widow. She's a feisty widow. And she goes up against this bad judge. And that bad judge keeps telling her no, and he's unjust. He's not a judge that understands judgment. And this widow, the word I gave to her, is insistent, because she doesn't stop. Insistent means she believed in what she was standing for, and she kept going back to the judge and calling on him to be a just judge. We in our faith are called to be insistent. We're called to stand up. There's an old saying that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Are we willing to stand strong for our faith? Once I was giving a talk on standing up and stand up, and at the end of it, a man in a wheelchair came up to me. And he said, you kept saying, stand up, and he says, I can't stand up. And I began to apologize. He said, don't you dare apologize. He says, it finally dawned on me. If I can't stand up on the outside, I can stand up on the inside. We're called to stand up for our faith. Amen? Amen. But how do we do that? Because it comes down to two choices, God or the world. You see, the judge represents the world, that unjust judge. And the widow represents the people of faith who stand up for what she believes against the world. So we have those two choices, choose God over the world. But why should we choose God? Why should we choose God? He made us, yes? I thought of the story of the young boy, 11 years old, who was born without a right arm. And one day he went to his parents and said, Mom, Dad, I would like to learn judo. And the parents said, well, judo's a great sport, but I don't think it's the best sport for somebody missing their right arm. And the little boy did what kids do. Please, 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 please. And they said, finally, all right. And they got him together with a judo coach. And from day one, this coach is teaching them one and only one judo move. Day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, one judo move. At the end of about 9 months, that young boy is put into a competition. Do you know he won the first round? He won the second round. He went to the semifinals. He won the semifinals. He went to the finals, and he won the finals. And no one was more surprised than this young kid. And he went to his coach and he said, "How did that happen? How did I win?" And the coach said, "I taught you the most difficult move in all of judo. And the only way for your opponent to defeat you is to take hold of your right arm." You see, that coach, like God, sees our possibilities. That coach, like God, sees what we can be. The world sees what we're missing. The world sees our shortcomings. The world is always reminding us of what we do wrong and how we fail. God is always looking to what we can be, what we will be, and what the possibilities of our lives can be. Amen? So we need to grow in our faith. We do it by being persistent, consistent, and insistent. Amen? And if we do that, it's easier for us to let go of the peanuts, let go of those things that are slowing us down and in our way. So one way we can remind ourselves of this is by participating and coming to things that the church puts on. As luck would have it, there's a parish mission starting just this very night. 6:30 tonight, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. It makes it easy for everybody. Kids, you're invited, you bring your parents. Tonight, I'm going to come out in costume and makeup as Judas Iscariot. Now, I've been in ministry for 45 years. I've been doing the characters since 1983. I've performed Judas around the world, including in, those places where the catacombs, and in the Papal Palace in Avignon. Once I was performing Judas in Washington, D.C., and a man came up to me afterwards and he belted me in the mouth. And I picked myself up and I asked, "Why did you do that?" He says, "How dare you make excuses for that guy?" I said, "I didn't make excuses, I made him human." You see, I think sometimes we like to view Judas as a devil. Because if we see him as a devil, we can put him over there and say, "Well, he's a devil. I'm not, so I will never fail like Judas did. I will never succumb like Judas did." But when we see him as a human being, we start to see parts of ourselves in Judas. And just as Judas failed, we too can fail. So Judas, there's a lesson to be learned when we see the human side. Amen? So tomorrow night, I'm going to come out costume and makeup as Simon Peter. And Simon's going to tell you his story about meeting Jesus, following Jesus. He's going to tell you about all the things he said wrong and did wrong, all the times he went to Jesus and said, "Please forgive me, I'm sorry." He's going to tell you about how he felt when Jesus pointed his hand at him and said, "Get away from me, you Satan." How Peter must have felt. How he felt when he denied him three times. He's going to talk about his wife. How many knew that Peter was married? See, very few, because the Bible doesn't mention a wife, does it? But it mentions a mother-in-law. And I've learned you do not get one without the other. So he's going to tell you of his life. And then on Tuesday night, I'm going to come out costume and makeup as St. Paul. And St. Paul's going to talk about what it was like when he was persecuting the Christians. And on that road to Damascus when Jesus spoke to him. He's going to talk about his journeys to Athens and Corinth and Ephesus and Galatia. He's going to talk about his many arrests and his many beatings. He's going to talk about his final trip to Rome where he was beheaded. You're going to learn about Paul and the others in a way you really never thought before. And then lastly, on the final night, I'm going to come out costume again as the beloved Saint Francis of Assisi. Now, Francis, to me, was amazing. And sadly, so many people's only understanding of Francis is as a garden statue. But Francis was part of the wealthiest family in all of Assisi. He gave it all up to follow Jesus. He's going to talk about his conversion. He's going to talk about what it was like to form his following. Did you know that within 10 years, at a time when there was no mass communication, within 10 years, he had almost 12,000 followers? Amazing. He's going to tell you what he called his order. A lot of people think Franciscan, am I right? That's wrong. He's going to tell you what the real name is. And he's going to talk about what it was like to serve the lepers, what it was like to meet the head of all the Muslims, the Sultan Malik al-Kamil. So you're going to meet Francis in a whole new way. This is my personal invitation. Please come tonight at 6:30, tomorrow at 6:30, Tuesday at 6:30, Wednesday 6:30 p.m. Also Tuesday at 11:45, I'm giving a talk on what it means to believe right here in the gym. 11:45 on Tuesday. So this is my invitation. Please come. If you're going to feel the slightest bit guilty for not coming, if you're going to feel that you are risking the eternal fires of eternal damnation for not coming, I want to encourage you in your guilt and invite you to be here. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for your time and your attention.